Welcome back to this special edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're broadcasting live from Barnes & Noble Booksellers in Sioux Falls during the South Dakota Festival of Books. Coming up a bit later on the program, we'll talk with Susan Power, author of Roofwalker and The Grass Dancer, among other things, as well as Michael Lawson, author of the 2012 One Book South Dakota Selection, Damned Indians Revisited, an updated account on the effects of the Missouri River dams on the state's Indian population. With us right now is California writer Lisa Yee. She's the author of books for children and young adults, including Millicent Min, Girl Genius, Absolutely Maybe, Stanford Wong Flunks Big Time, Bobby the Brave Sometimes, and many, many others. Lisa Yee, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
The book I have here, which I think came out a couple of years ago, Bobby the Brave Sometimes. Bobby is in fourth grade. I'm wondering, when you write this book and the others, if you go back and remember what life was like when you were that age.
I do. You know, it's the strangest thing. I can't remember yesterday, but I can remember so much from my childhood. And, for example, for Bobby the Brave, though, it was triggered with my son when he was in fourth grade, and he was going to bed, and I was telling him about a book I was thinking of writing about the Civil War. I was telling him about the battles and all this kind of stuff, and he looked at me and he said, "Why don't you write a book with not a lot of commotion? You know, like a Cleary woman." And he meant Beverly Cleary. And I started thinking, yeah, you know, when you're in fourth grade, there's enough drama and trauma going on in the playground and this and that. And maybe we need some books that don't have vampires or people morphing into other things and it's like that. So it's easy for me to go back there and get triggered from things that my son says.
You mentioned Beverly Cleary. Those were the books I read when I was a kid. Did you read those too?
I love Beverly Cleary. I mean, she's who I aspire to be.
When you're going back and writing books for younger adults and you're thinking back, are you sometimes thinking of the teachers that you had then, your friends that you had?
Absolutely. In a book I have called Stanford Wong Flunks Big Time, there is a teacher who Stanford calls teacher torturer because he's failed him. And I had a teacher named Mr. Glick who I was terrified of in seventh grade because I had heard that he had murdered a student, you know, because they didn't hand in their homework in time. So I was writing the book and I was thinking, okay, what am I going to name this teacher? I know I'll name him Mr. Glick because Mr. Glick was very elderly and I thought, well, maybe he's no longer here, you know. And I got a call from my school and they were doing an interview and they said, you know, is there a teacher who meant a lot to you? And I said, well, that would be Mr. Glick, because what would happen was in seventh grade, you started the class, you were terrified of him because he was always yelling and, you know, talking really loud. And at the end of the year, kids would cry because they never wanted to leave his classroom. He always became everyone's favorite teacher, I think, because he was so strict. So when my school said, was there a teacher who meant a lot to you? I said, well, Mr. Glick, but I'm sure he's no longer with us. And they said, no, he's still around. He still teaches. And I was like, oh, my God, he's so old, you know. So I got to know him. You know, we're actually friends now. I would go to his class and speak. And one day I asked him, I said, Mr. Glick, would you mind if I asked you how old you were when you were my teacher? And he said, yes, I was 32. but I actually put him in the book. It's the only time I've put an actual person in the book. I rewrote it to reflect Mr. Glick.
When you're writing your books, do you keep in mind what today's young readers, their lives are like? Is there much more, you know, there's much more going on than what Beverly Cleary was writing about?
You know, I actually try not to do too much of that. I don't like have a lot of technology or anything in the book that could date it because, you know, I think that the feelings and the emotions, the happiness, the grief that kids and adults feel, it's timeless. You know, it's the things that I felt as a kid, I think that kids today feel the same thing.
Did you start out, when you started writing, did you want to write books for younger readers?
I've always wanted to write books for kids, but I didn't start writing them until I was in my 40s because I was too afraid to actually attempt to write a book. And I've had lots of careers. I've been a journalist. I've written for television. I've coined the slogan, Pass the Old El Paso, Red Lobster menus. I've done it all. But I realized that when I became a mom and I had kids that I was being a hypocrite. Because I would tell my own children, if there's a dream or there's something you really want to do, you have to try. And I had always wanted to write books since I was a kid, and I wasn't trying. So I thought, what kind of role model am I if I'm not doing this? And so I started to write very late at night.
After the kids were in bed.
And to this day, my prime writing hours are from 11 to 3 a.m.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you're a night person.
Definitely. That's why I might look tired right now.
And the first book that was published, that was Millicent Min?
Millicent Min, Girl Genius, was my first novel. I actually got pulled out of the slush pile, that's where you don't have an agent or anything, by Arthur Levine. He's J.K. Rowling's editor for the Harry Potter series. So it was quite a Cinderella story.
Do you find any sort of limitations in writing for young kids, or the things that you want to do that just doesn't fit into that, I don't know if genre is the right word, but for that age readers?
Well, there can be, because I write for all ages. For example, in my younger books, like Bobby the Brave Sometimes, that's about a fourth grader, I certainly don't have the same language I would have in there for a book like Absolutely Maybe, which is for teenagers. So content and language change according to the age group.
Do you regularly hear from your young readers?
I do. I hear from them all the time. I get the funniest letters, and then I also get lots and lots of students begging me to do the book reports on me for them.
Oh, so they want you to write the book.
They want me to do their homework for them. So actually, on my website, there's a page for people who are doing homework. And so, you know, and I tell the kids everything is on there because there's links to interviews, and I do a Q&A with myself. And I say, if you cannot find the answers, then you may ask me three questions. But they're all there. They're all there.
Is it rewarding for you when young readers, your readers come up to you and talk to you about a character maybe that they particularly related to, whether it's Bobby the Brave or someone else?
It really is. A few years ago, I was in Denver, Colorado. I did a lot of school visits, and there was a boy in the back of the auditorium, and he stood up. He was very nervous, and he had a question. And he said, I need to know what happens to Marley. And I didn't know what he was talking about, because I don't read my own books after they've been published. Don't tell anyone. This is just between the two of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So Marley was a minor character in Stanford Wong Flunk's Big Time, who was a Star Trek geek who would get beat up and bullied every day at school. And so later I remembered who it was, and this boy's teacher came up to me and she said, you know, it is amazing that he spoke in the auditorium because he has never spoken in class before. He is Marley. He gets beat up and bullied. And I thought about his words, which were, I need to know, not I want to know, I need to know. And then a few weeks later I got an email from a girl and she said the same thing, I need to know what happens to Marley. And so I wrote her back and I said, why do you need to know? And she said, because he's like me and I need to know he's going to be okay. And I thought about that actually for a few years, and finally I thought, you know, I need to write this book. And that book came out of talking or hearing from those kids.
So there's a lot of insight you get from your readers.
They
inspire her.
Absolutely. A lot from my readers and a lot from eavesdropping on my kids. And, when I'm in public, I'm always listening. That's the fun thing about, you know, being an author, is that you get to eavesdrop, and that's you have a good excuse to do that.
Now, how important are illustrations for your books? I know this is the one I have here, Bobby the Brave Sometimes, is for the main character is fourth grade, so I imagine that illustrations are important to that.
Yeah, for the younger books that are illustrated, these illustrations are done by a guy named Dan Santat, and he's actually a friend of mine also. He has a series on the Disney Channel called The Replacements. And what was really great about that is usually when books are illustrated, the editor does not want the author and the illustrator to talk. It's like illegal. But because Dan and I were friends, we talked all the time. But when I was writing the book, I didn't know who was going to illustrate it, but I kind of hoped he would. And when I was told it was him illustrating it, I could actually visualize the scenes. So it actually made it easier for me to write, knowing what he could do with the material.
Is this what you thought Bobby looked like? Or
The boy on the cover is what Bobby looks like. That's actually my son.
Huh.
My son was the model for Bobby, and in fact, in the first Bobby book, Bobby is wearing shorts and a certain outfit, and when the book came out, my son was looking at the cover, he goes, Mom, I have those exact same shorts! And I'm like, what are you, dumb? That's you! He's like, oh, yeah! So,
how old were your kids when you started writing these books?
My first book came out in 2003, but it took me 6 years to write.
Okay.
So my son wasn't even born then.
Okay.
I write a lot faster now. I do about a book a year now. But they were very young, so, yeah.
What sort of influence do they have in your books? Do they say, oh, we don't talk like that, or kids don't talk like that, or?
Well, okay, I'll give you an example. One time my son, when he used to be a skateboarder, he was at the skate park. And so I thought, okay, I'll go with him. And, hey, I haven't rollerbladed in a long time, And so When I grew up, I roller skated with a skate key and everything. Rollerblades are very different. When you stop, you have to lean back. And so I'm there with my pads and everything, and my son is there, and he was only 8 years old at the time, and he had all his pads, and they were teenage boys. And when I stop, when I rollerblade, I basically have to lift my hands in the air and hit a wall and scream because I don't know how to stop. So I'm like, ah, and hitting the wall. And I look over, and there's my son, and he's just standing there, and smoke is coming out of his ears, and he looks so miserable. And I went over to him, and I said, you know, Benny, what's going on? I mean, this is so fun. It's not even very crowded here. And he looks at me and he says, Mom, do you realize it's never very crowded wherever you are? And I thought, oh my God, I am humiliating him, because wherever I was, all the teenage boys would go to the other side of the park. And so I looked at him and he was about to cry. And I thought to myself, I could use this in a book. So, you know, and then that's actually in one of the Bobby books, you know, so I steal from my children. Yeah.
Bobby's a skateboarder.
Bobby is a skateboarder. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, getting away from your books, last week you witnessed the last ride of the Endeavour space shuttle. Was that?
That was true? So cool. What happened was NASA put a call out for people who are involved in social media, and somebody sent me an email saying, I think you'd be good for this. And so I applied. I guess over 2,300 people applied to be guests of NASA as Endeavour was landing and doing, you know, all around the United States. So I got to go for 3 days in the Mojave Desert, and we had unprecedented access. They picked 40 people out of the 2,300, and we were right there when Endeavour came in and landed. We got to go into the 747 carrier, meet the pilot, and then we were there for takeoff. And I actually have already put up the video on my blog and on my website if you'd like to see an Endeavour taking off 500 feet away from me. So it was the thrill of a lifetime.
And you had a little yellow friend with you.
I travel with a peep, and I'm going to spell her name, because if I just say it and it's radio, it's going to sound bad. But it's spelled P-E-E-P-Y. It's peepee, but it's not that kind, although Roy already talked about urination, so I think we've covered that
already.
He didn't use the word. But I travel with her because I like to blow up things. And actually, on NPR one time, I saw people blowing up marshmallow peeps in the microwave. So I started doing that, and I had that on my blog. And on my website, and then somebody sent a plush peep to me. And so because I travel so much and I blog, it's the adventures that she's gone on and the people that she's met and the things that she's done.
So her adventures at the South Dakota Book Festival, be able to
she's
find
the,
those?
You're going to be on the blog with my peep, since you're basically really interviewing her and not me.
Okay.
She's
a very good interviewer.
Well, she's lovely.
All
yes.
Right. Lisa Yee and Peep, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you.
Lisa Yee is one of the authors featured at the 10th South Dakota Festival of Books, and she's giving a couple of presentations tomorrow at the Holiday Inn City Center. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to a special edition of Dakota Midday on SDPB Radio, coming to you live from Barnes & Noble here in Sioux Falls during the South Dakota Festival of Books. And coming up after a short break, we'll talk with Susan Power, author of Roof Walker and The Grass Dancer, among other things. And then a bit later on the program, we'll talk with Michael Lawson, author of the 2012 one-book South Dakota selection, Damned Indians Revisited. This is South Dakota Public Broadcasting.